Welcome to today's deep dive. You know, if your kitchen catches fire, well, that's a personal tragedy for you. But under South Africa's Disaster Management Act of 2002, a massive hurricane wiping out a highly prepared city might not legally be considered a disaster at all.
Right. It sounds wild, but that's the whole point of what we are unpacking today. It is not just some dry legal document, you know?
No, it is like a master blueprint for national survival. Today, our goal is to see how a nation legally engineers a safety net, like way before a crisis even hits.
Exactly. And it starts with how they actually define a crisis, because the act is incredibly precise about that legal distinction.
Right. So going back to my kitchen fire analogy, if a whole town burns down, how does the law decide if it's a capital D disaster?
Well, an event, whether it's a sudden shock like a flood or, say, a progressive issue like a long drought, only officially becomes a disaster when it crosses a specific threshold.
What kind of threshold?
Has to cause death, injury, or disruption of a magnitude that exceeds the ability of those affected to cope.
Using only their own resources, right?
Right. Using only their local resources. So the legal definition isn't really about the size of the storm itself.
It's about the size of the community's coping mechanism. I mean, that is fascinating.
It really is. A massive storm hitting a vulnerable town triggers legal disaster status, while that exact same storm hitting a well-resourced city is just handled as severe weather.
Because it measures the gap between the actual threat and the community's baseline self-reliance.
Exactly. It makes the definition of a disaster entirely contextual.
Yeah.
Which means someone has to take the wheel when that threshold is crossed.
Right. And here is my pushback on that. If a massive storm just totally wipes out a town, leaving the initial response entirely to the local municipality seems, I don't know, like a recipe for further catastrophe. Why doesn't the national government immediately swoop in?
Because an immediate national takeover usually creates chaos. It misallocates resources. So the act enforces this really strict nesting doll hierarchy.
Nesting doll hierarchy, like municipal, provincial, and then national.
You got it. Disasters are primarily classified locally first because local authorities understand their specific vulnerabilities best. They are right there on the ground.
Okay, let's unpack this. So the crisis only scales up the ladder if a single municipality literally exhausts its resources and just cannot cope anymore.
Or if the catastrophe physically crosses municipal or provincial borders. The exact moment a mayor legally surrenders control to a provincial premier, well, emergency funding channels and resource allocation fundamentally change.
It forces a coordinated transfer of power rather than just like a panicked national overreaction.
Right. And if the system relies on communities using their own resources first, the government's primary job before a storm hits isn't just stockpiling sandbags.
Right. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because usually legislation feels purely reactive, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But here, the goal is proactive prevention. The act mandates that the National Center must maintain this comprehensive electronic database.
And it's not just tracking police stations and hospital beds, right?
Yeah. No, the mandate goes way beyond that. The law specifically requires them to collect Indigenous knowledge relating to disaster management.
Wait, really? How does that actually work in practice? I mean, merging a digital database with historical wisdom sounds incredibly complex to execute.
It is complex, but think about it. You take a local tribe's generational knowledge of, like, animal migration patterns or seasonal riverbed shifts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you map that deeply localized historical data, and you overlay it digitally alongside modern satellite telemetry.
So you use that to assess vulnerabilities and create early warnings long before modern instruments alone would trigger an alarm.
Exactly. Knowledge is most valuable when it's understood and applied to preparation before the threat even materializes.
So you are leveraging ground-level historical data to strengthen that exact community coping mechanism we talked about earlier.
It is the ultimate proactive measure. You stop the next crisis by knowing exactly what the community already knows.
That is brilliant. And for you listening, whether you are managing a complex corporate project or just organizing your own household emergencies, this 2002 law offers a highly functional framework.
Setting strict objective thresholds for when to escalate a problem is just a masterclass in crisis management.
It really is. Relying on deeply granular, ground-level knowledge to predict the next issue is so smart.
Yeah.
Which leaves us with one final thought for you to mull over.
Yeah. What's the big takeaway here?
Well, if the strict legal definition of a disaster is simply a community's inability to cope using its own resources, how much of modern disaster management is actually just a race to build up a community's self-reliance long before your proverbial kitchen even catches fire?